Obviously the kids. We love having the kids. We had a great week. I, on the other hand, kind of got a bug on Tuesday, and then on Friday, a bad cold. And so that's why we taped the video for you this morning. A few years ago, there was a lady in Arkansas that had a mystical event happen. She lived in a trailer, and when she turned her lamp on, there was a shadow, an image of a person. She believed it was Jesus. And news started to spread around, and people started coming to see this. They turned the lamp on, look at the picture, turned the lamp on, next one. Finally, hundreds of people are coming, so she was charging $1 per viewing. A TV station got a hold of this and came down. They were interviewing. They were interviewing some of the people who had seen the picture. So they interviewed this one guy and said, "Are you satisfied?" Because he had to pay $1 to see the picture. "Are you satisfied with what you saw?" And the guy said, "No, I want my money back. The picture looked more like Willie Nelson than it did Jesus." People are desperate to catch a glimpse of Jesus and want to be able to see and feel the power of God. Let's pray. God, there's so many things that are crumbling in our world, even in our lives. As you pour your forgiveness and grace in our lives, help us to respond in a likewise manner to our neighbor. We want to love things you love and hate the things you hate. We pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our text today is in Hebrews 12, 14 to 24, and Ernie will have it on the screen here that you can follow along. Hebrews 12, 14 to 24, I'm going to read it to you. "Pursue peace with everyone, and the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God. Let no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and through it many become defiled. See to it that no one becomes like Esau, an immoral and godless person who sold his birthright for a single meal. You know that later, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no chance to repent, even though he sought the blessing with tears. You have not come to something that can be touched, a blazing fire and darkness and gloom and a tempest. At the sound of the trumpet and a voice whose words made the hearers beg that not another word be spoken to them, for they could not endure the order that was given. Even animals touching the mountain should be stoned to death. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, 'I tremble with fear.' But you have come from Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels and festival gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel." Little background here. Earlier in Hebrews 12, the Apostle Paul encourages his listeners that there's going to be difficulties in this life. Does anybody notice that? He encourages them not to focus on the hardship, but rather on Christ. Then the apostle goes on to use the imagery of a father disciplining and correcting their child for its own protection. Who loves the child more than the parent? Do you ever remember being disciplined by your parents? Unfortunately, our parents were not perfect and sometimes did not handle things the way they should have, or maybe wanted to. But Jesus is not like this. He loves and cares for us in the most perfect way possible. God loves us so intimately, he will use all the challenges in life to help shape and direct us. Rob Reamer has said that the brokenness and at times the evil in our world that has impacted us is not from God. But our Heavenly Father is so incredible that he can take these horrible, even wicked situations in our lives and redeem them. This is great news for all of us. This can sound impossible, but we have a wonderful working God in our world and in our lives. The sooner we come to the realization that God is for us, not against us, we begin learning to trust that he is greater than the circumstance we find ourselves in. And we can completely trust and lean in our relationship with him. Jesus is the one who has uniquely made us, and he wants us to become all we can become. Are we willing to allow God to speak into and direct our lives? Hebrews 12, verse 14 to 17. We're encouraged to remain pure in a polluted world. Hebrews 12, 14 says, pursue peace and holiness with everyone, without which no one will see the Lord. This is a hard thing to do. Pursue peace with everyone. We can live in a universe where it seems so much easier to fight with each other than live in harmony. When we're not at odds with our neighbors, we can experience internal conflict even within ourselves. The New Living Translation says like this, work at living in peace with everyone, and work at living for a holy life. For those who are not holy will not see the Lord. The definition here in the dictionary of holy says, to be purified or clean. Luke 11:36, it says, if you're filled with light, with no dark corners, then your whole life will be radiant, as though a floodgate were filling you with light. I personally want to see God, so I want to do whatever it takes to be holy. Sin continually blocks our relationship with God and each other, and the only way to be free from this mess is forgiveness. As we begin experiencing a right relationship with God, it'll lead to having a right relationship with others. Don't we all want to have all our relationships right? Hebrews 12:15. So to it, see to it, that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and through it many become defiled. Grace has everything to do with God's mercy and his favor in our lives. When we're not daily bathing in the Lord's grace, it's so easy to get offended and then to hang on to it. A little root of bitterness. It often starts as a small thing and it grows and grows until it's a full-blown tree. There's a pond in the back of our house and willows grow there. But if I don't pay attention, they start branching out and growing into my nice yard of grass. It's something I'm continually maintaining or it'll take over my yard. Have you ever let little things grow big in your relationship with others? A conversation that got away, a hurtful comment, a misunderstanding, a difference of an opinion. By the time our disappointment and hurt blossom into fruit, many others have been dragged into the mess and become disillusioned or upset. Paul goes on to use Esau in the Old Testament, his character, as an example. Hebrews 12, 16, 17. See to it that no one becomes like Esau, who sold his birthright for a single meal. Later, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, it was rejected. It was too late for the repentance, even though he begged with bitter tears. In this culture, the eldest son received the important blessing from his father. In a rash move, Esau traded this honor to his brother over a bowl of soup. No bowl of soup should ever make you want to give up your birthright. Now, if it was a soup bowl full with certain kind of chocolate bars, maybe you'd have to weigh that a little closer. Later, Esau's repentance was based more on what he lost than his own careless actions. He treated something casually that was a precious gift of God, simply to ease the grumbling in his stomach. Sometimes our mistakes and sins have far-reaching consequences far into the future. Others have wronged us. We have wronged and hurt others. We don't want to allow the momentary events of disappointment and hurts to rob us of our future with God and each other. We become clean through the forgiveness that we experience in Christ, and by forgiving others through releasing the right to punish them for perceived wrongs. We surrender this right to retaliate over and over to the one who's forgiven us a million times more. By holding on to the grudge, we hurt ourselves the most because of what's happening inside us. When we keep short accounts with God, we don't allow too much time between the last time we had talked and connected with Him. When we stay in close connection, few negative things have time to build up in our lives with God or others. I like how it communicates this in 1 John 1:7. But if we're living in the light, as God is in the light, we have fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Charles Swindell tells the story of a man who was going through a fast food place like Kentucky Fried Chicken, and he went to the order window and ordered 2 chickens. He drove away and was about to have a picnic with his date. When they opened the bag, instead of there being 2 chickens there, it was full of money. See, what had happened is the person working the window accidentally grabbed the wrong bag, and how they collect the money in the date was to put it in a brown paper bag. The guy raced back to the KFC and found the general manager, whose face was white and sick at this point. And he said to him, "We ordered 2 chickens, but we got this instead," and he handed the bag. The manager opened it up and could not believe all the money was there. He said, "I'm gonna call the local newspaper. You must be the most honest person I've ever met." And the man said, no, don't do that. No, we're not looking for any attention. All we wanted was the 2 chicken dinners. You see, the woman I'm with is not my wife. We need to learn what it means to live with pure hearts before God and others. Hebrews 12, 18 and 24, we're reminded of approaching an awe-inspiring God. The apostle starts this section describing what it is like to approach God in the Old Testament compared to how Jesus' death changed everything. At Mount Sinai, the people with Moses were completely terrified by God. Hebrews 12, 18 says, "You have not come to something that can be touched, being the mountain where God was present. A blazing fire, darkness, gloom, tempest, a voice the people begged to be silent." Paul's referring to Israel's encounter with God at Mount Sinai, mentioned in Exodus 19, 16 and 22. Before Jesus came, God seemed distant and threatening to many. If we can imagine the setting, it was dark and scary, and God spoke out of the fire, and no one saw Him. The trumpet sounded, and the Lord's voice was booming. In the New Living Translation, it says, the voice was so terrifying, they begged God to stop speaking. In Exodus 19, 20, it says, they could not bear the order being given. The New Living says, they staggered back under God's command. If an animal went to the mountain, it was to be stoned. The people were completely and utterly overwhelmed. In Exodus 19:21, it says, even Moses trembled in fear. The same Moses who talked to God face to face. We would have been freaked out too. But everything changes in the next 3 verses because of Jesus and the new covenant, new agreement with God, the kingdom of God. Hebrews 12, 22. But you have come to Mount Zion and the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem where innumerable angels gather. Verse 23. To the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and the spirits of the righteous one made perfect. Talking about those who've gone to heaven before us. What a change now. Instead of fear, there's expectation and boldness for those who enter the presence of God. This has everything to do with the difference that relationship makes. If a complete stranger walked into your house, entered into your cupboard, got some chocolate chip cookies, went to your fridge to get a glass of milk, it might be the last thing they do on this earth. But if it's your child or your grandchild, you might even offer them an extra cookie. The text is summed up in Hebrews 12:24. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. In Genesis, Abel's brother Cain killed him out of jealousy. And when God addresses Cain, he said, "Your brother's blood calls out to me from the ground." It brought the accusation against killing Abel right up into the light. Nothing could be hidden anymore. What happened out in the field between the two boys was no longer hidden. The truth that Cain killed his brother, Abel, was calling for justice, for retribution. But when Jesus dies on behalf of each of us, what the earth cries out now is for forgiveness and reconciliation. We're left approaching God out of awe for what he has done on our behalf, not simply because of fear of punishment. Now there's a complete openness and sense of warmth, acceptance, love, and reverence. When we encounter a relationship with Jesus Christ, we no longer need to hide like Adam and Eve did with fig leaves. In contrast, we freely run to God, fully embracing him with all that we are. If you follow much pro football, the name Jerry Rice should be familiar to you. He's the most famous receiver of all times. He's far and far has more catches than anyone who's ever played and probably ever will play. He was drafted in 1985 in the first round. And by 1989, he was the Super Bowl MVP, and they'd won a number of Super Bowls in San Francisco. His talent was out of the world, but then he worked hard to be the best that he could be. Periodically, somebody would interview him and say, "Jerry, why didn't you go to one of the big universities?" So normally what happens is the team, the players that are the cream of the crop, go to certain universities where they're going to be able to play and shine, and as a result of that, get drafted really high in the draft, so they're paid more money. But Jerry Rice didn't do this. They asked him what happened. He said, "Oh, all the big universities and everything else, they all contacted me." Where he went to university was Mississippi Valley State University. Ever hear of it? I haven't. He said, "Mississippi Valley was the only school that came to my house and gave me a personal visit." This is how God approaches each of us personally. Through Jesus calling us by name, he is the one who designed us and loves us just the way we are. God wants to meet us today, calling us son, calling us daughter. There's no possible way for us to be right with God on our own. There's not enough good works or money that can wipe away the sin in our lives. The scripture says that those who are not holy will not see God. Our holiness and right standing before Jesus has everything to do with having a right relationship with God. Today is another opportunity to quiet our hearts and allow the Lord to speak to the interior of our lives. Ink stains on a white sheet or shirt. Have you ever wore a pen in one of your shirts and then have the pen explode? It's really messy. These stains are similar to what sin does to our soul. It's no longer white, no longer pure. Jesus comes and soaks our sin-stained lives in his blood and makes us clean again. It's so easy to be distracted by the busyness of life and the focus on secondary things instead of the primary. Our time and energy is eaten away with making money, careers, family expectations, illnesses, and a host of other things. We're so busy bailing out the messes of today that we rarely prepare ourselves for eternity. Instead of fighting with God and ourselves internally, we can decide to live life in a new way. When we choose to follow Christ and his ways, it's because of the relationship that's built on love. Love truly does conquer all sin. No one cares for us like he does. The scripture says he died for us when we were his enemies. Sometimes it's difficult for even our friends to like us, but Jesus loves us. What are the things that are standing in our way from being holy today? What are the things that are separating us from God? Let's give them up. They're not worth our eternity. This path that we travel on is not in isolation, but it's together as a community. The way is often hard, but the journey is also filled with an everlasting joy that nothing else even comes close to. In the Gospels, Jesus declared, he was the way, the truth, and the life. Now he calls each one of us to walk in his way, to walk in his path. Let's pray. There's so much noise in our lives and so many voices. We need help, Jesus, to distinguish your voice from all others. You call us to give our lives away, for only then will we be free. We invite you to come and take our lives and direct our paths. Be glorified through our words, our thoughts, and our deeds. In Jesus' name, amen. As you go under the sign of the cross, knowing holiness has everything to do with being transparent before God and others. Amen. I hope you have a great week.
So we're going to have one more song, but first we'll say the doxology together. And after the service, there's lots of cookies and cakes that we need to get rid of. So I'm sure we can figure that out. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So if the girls want to come up.
Trembles at his voice, trembles.